All right, let's change it up a bit and talk Leafs.
No?
Guess not. It is Blue Jays talk with Blair and Barker on the Sportsnet Radio Network, soon to be joined by our friends on TV. 6-1, the Blue Jays have lost to the Kansas City Royals. Frankly, just go back and replay our last 12 Blue Jays talks because it's pretty much the same damn thing. Kevin Chris Bassett today, a no-hitter through five. And we looked at each other in the fourth inning and said, if any team's going to lose a no-hitter, it's this team. I think the easiest way to describe this game is the fact that the Royals' best hitters showed up and came through. The Blue Jays' best hitters, once again, were missing in action.
Yeah.
And at no point, well, I'll tell you what, when the Royals got their three runs in the sixth, we both looked at each other and, we came into the studio and got ready to go because the game was over. 416-413-3959 is the back leg line. That's the number to reach out, leave a voice note, leave your name and location, please. Kevin, I've said this in the past, and I know you've said this as well. Your opponents will tell you what they think of you.
Mm-hmm.
When a team gets on base, gets a double from the number nine hitter, and immediately sacrifices in the sixth inning, they're telling you that we're going to win this game 1-0.
Absolutely.
I mean, they are. There's no other way to look at it.
I ask you this. What if you're John Schneider or Ross Atkins, what do you do?
I mean, well.
How do you fix it?
I mean, I.
Like, I just don't know, other than, coming out and saying that we still have faith in, I don't want to say the core, middle of the order.
I mean,
moving around the order is going to help? That's going to help. George Springer, is that going to help anybody else? How would that help anybody?
Who do you want to have an extra at bat right now? Who do you want to move up into the leadoff spot and have an extra?
Dalton would be the obvious
Dalton
choice,
would be
right?
The guy?
But is it Dalton's fault? Talking to his dad, listen to his dad talk, listen to Dalton talk. Like, simplifying it is very important for Dalton. Look, and you ask him to move around the order. Like, if you're leading off, you're thinking all of a sudden now, if you're Dalton, take more pitches, work more counts, get deeper into counts.
Look, let's just
pass the baton that way. Like, there's not really anything that's an obvious choice that they could do. That's the dilemma.
Let's just say that right now, I don't think there's anything John Schneider can do. I mean, this is up to Ross Atkins. Just as this roster was put together.
Sometimes you need your boss to step up, right, and do some things. And I think right now's the time.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
And if Ross Atkins can't or won't do anything?
And now, again, what can you do? Like, that's the big question is, it ain't like they got a ton to trade.
Nope,
do you make big-time trades to get a middle-of-the-order bat this time of the year? Probably not. So, what are you doing?
But
like,
is
it something they're doing off the field that's not translating between the years? Like, look, that's the question, right? Is team meetings don't work. They just don't. Like, it's good to sit in a room and have conversations, between your buddies and all those things, and then have team. It doesn't. It doesn't. I've been in many of them. They never work.
At this point,
it's eyewash.
At this point, it's not working on the field. The team is dead ass. Can't put it any other way. They are. They're a tough watch.
Offensively, they are.
Offensively,
they are. Yeah.
Dead ass.
Absolutely.
They are a dead ass offensive team.
Yeah. 3-0. It's over.
They got nothing going on.
That's the way it feels, anyway.
I think if you look back, what was said in the offseason, are we surprised that they're a dead ass offensive team?
No, it's predictable.
We're joined now by our friends on TV.
Hi, everybody.
It is Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker. I was just describing the Jays as a dead ass team. You got me in the middle of a full rant.
It's not really a rant. It's Captain Obvious.
Captain Obvious.
It is.
Matter of fact, 416-413-3959. See the little number at the bottom
of the
screen?
We want solutions. Tell us, because we don't know what they are.
We got nothing.
What is the solution?
I don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't.
I'm mechanicaled out and you know, middle of the order, praying and hoping that they get hot. Like, I know it's only a month into the season, but this has been going on since about June of last year.
You're cackied and analytic'd out and you're processed out.
Absolutely. Like,
so
what's
416-413-3959. Help us.
Yeah, we want to know the answers.
Leave a voice note. Leave your name and location. Send us a text. 590-590 is the text line. And obviously talk about today's game, a 6-1 loss. Chris Bassett had a no-hitter.
Yeah, yeah, he's throwing harder. You can tell he's mad at himself.
He was.
Yeah, he hasn't
96.
He hasn't had a good start to his year. The ball, the sinker was moving. Location was better. The curveballs were unpredictable. Like, he was throwing the split finger more. He had just mechanical confidence in everything because he was – every once in a while, you got to go out there and angry.
Yeah.
He was angry today. Good for him.
The Jays are 15-17 now. Ouch. 3 runs in the sixth inning by Kansas City. Again, Kansas City's big players came through. A 3-run home run by Michael Massey.
Yeah.
Off of Nate Pearson. I mean, it was over when it was 3-1. 6-1 just
28 games this year scoring less than 5 or more.
And they lost the game they scored 8 runs in, by the way.
Yeah, to the Yankees.
To the Yankees. So we're awaiting John Schneider's trip to the podium. And once we get queued up, we will take you live to the podium. The Jays have tomorrow off.
You know what happens on days off, Jeff.
Nothing good
happens.
What
did I always tell you?
Put your cell phone away.
Oh, I was leaving it. You want to send me down, you're going to have to come get me.
Anyhow, I don't know what the point is.
Come get me.
I mean, you made the point. What do you do here?
Yeah.
I mean, even if you're Ross Atkins, your two top pitching prospects are hurt.
Revis Martinez, you trading him? What are you getting for him?
I mean, I don't know.
Trading, one of your starting pitchers? What do you get? I mean, right now, I just don't know what the answer is. And I know why in the offseason they were saying the part of the core is going to take us where we're going to ultimately end up. Well, what if the core looks like this? Then what do you do? I mean, this is why you have bosses, to step in and have some urgency.
I mean, look, this is the issues plaguing this team. You know, first of all, you've got to ask yourself, does he think there's an issue here? I don't know. Maybe there are underlying numbers that suggest this team should be better.
Shake that any other way? When you're being lumped in with the White Sox and the A's,
which is where you are offensively,
you absolutely in a lot of categories. Like, there ain't no khaki sitting around in that room can go, hey, boy, this is how you do it. Stay right there. Like, they just, you can't. Like,
well, maybe
there's
process
no way you're selling that to players on that team that
it's
matter.
Early.
You can't.
You
it's not
trust
early
the
anymore.
Process.
It's not. The process has been happening since June of last year. How's that going?
Well, anyhow.
Well.
But to get back to our point, where are the answers here? Maybe you've got the answer. Where are the answers? What are the answers for this lineup? Bringing up Aurelvis Martinez. I mean, I don't like the idea.
But would it hurt?
I mean, Addison Barger was tearing the cover off the ball at AAA. That's all I'm going to say. Now, he may not. Aurelvis Martinez may be better than him.
Mm-hmm.
But if you bring Aurelvis Martinez up right now, you are in full panic mode. And I don't want to. If Aurelvis Martinez is going to be part of my
explain
core,
panic mode. Why?
Okay, we have Chris Bassett. We're going to go to Chris Bassett. Then I'll explain panic mode.
Okay.
Oh, he looks happy.
Would you be?
Chris, just with the way that the Royals kind of went out of the zone in that sixth inning, can you kind of live with some of the pitches that you made there?
Yeah, I'm past the point of thinking that it's about the results and they're just not there.
What do you think you can take away from the first 5 innings that you can build on going forward?
It's more so I think I made truly one bad pitch all day. Pascantino's double. Outside of that, I didn't make a single bad pitch.
The fourth inning, you got Salpras to swing. The umpire's ruled that he was going to go to first base. To what extent did that disrupt your
routine? Like a full hack.
No, it didn't. I knew I hit him. I'm just glad I didn't hurt him. That's it. He's a great player. I want to watch him play.
I love this guy.
When you look back at a game where, you know, you say you're now only thinking about results, but at the same time you only made one bad pitch, what is the conclusion that you draw from you know, you did what you were planning to do for 91 pitches, but the result was poor.
Yeah, just keep worrying about what I can control, and that's obviously what I did today. But it just, like I said, I'm beyond frustrated about what the hell's going on.
When you're pitching in those 0-0 games deep into the game, do you feel an added pressure up there to kind of be perfect on every single pitch?
No, it's just like I said, just execute pitches, and that was it.
There's Chris.
Nothing more than that.
You're fine. Last game, you said you need to make some adjustments. Do you feel you made those adjustments between your last start and today?
Yeah, for sure.
When you say you're beyond frustrated with what's going on, do you mean with you specifically in your numbers, or do you just mean in general?
Yeah, 15 and 17? I mean, I got a 5.5 ERA, and I feel like I had one bad game, and it's just, yeah, I'm just pissed.
Just as a team, Chris, how do you guys feel? Like, how do you evaluate the first 32 games with some off days going on?
I mean, take the Colorado series out of it. This is no disrespect to them, because I think they can win the World Series, but Houston might be the worst team we've played so far. I got a 5.5. Gauz got a 5. I think there's some perspective a little bit when it comes to it that, I mean, we've played a really hard schedule and haven't played our best, and yet we're close to 500. Like, I think a lot can turn really fast. It's just, I said, I think a lot of guys are frustrated with where we're at right now.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
There you go, Chris Bassett, who, as we've seen, continues to talk about how the rotation has to do better, how he has to do better. Didn't point the finger at the lineup at this point, I don't.
What's the point?
Exactly.
They know what they're not doing.
You know, as to the schedule, the schedule's been tough, but if you are a playoff team, which I think the Blue Jays thought they were going into the year, you can't lose 5-7 to the Kansas City Royals. And the Royals are a good team. The Royals are going to be a good team for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. But if you're the Blue Jays and you want to go to the playoffs, you can't lose 5-7 to the Royals. Yeah, the Astros, the Astros are a hurting group. But, with all due respect, the Jays have lost series to teams that they have to beat. I mean, they're
scoring 3.5 runs a game, Jeff. Yeah. I how do you win at the big league level? And on top of that, the American League East. Like, how do you –
Yeah.
How do you do that?
I feel for the Jays starting pitchers, because it's true that their personal numbers in a couple of instances aren't where they want it to be. I mean, let's be clear. You say Kikuchi and Jose Berríos are
all-stars.
Pretty much.
Absolutely.
But we've talked about this. This team, as good as the pitching has been, and let's keep this in mind, the pitching is the strongest part of this team, along probably with the outfield defense. But the pitching is also, it's not like it's top level in every category in baseball.
I don't think it's Seattle.
Exactly. They give up a lot of home runs.
They do.
Starters and relievers, they give up a lot of home runs.
Mm-hmm.
So what Chris Bassett says is right. But again, 3.5 runs a game, 28 games where you haven't scored more than 5 runs.
That's a lot of games. That's the most in baseball.
It's May 1st. Haven't seen anything from Vladdy or Bo or George Springer that suggests that they're ready to take off, any of those three. It's really clear. It was probably clear if we really wanted to be, I mean, spring training, Kevin, everybody's optimistic at spring training, But I think our suspicions going into spring training that Ross Atkins didn't do enough in the offseason to address the lineup issues, that Ross Atkins had too much faith into. And I'm, you know, I can see having faith in Bo Bichette. I can see wanting to have faith in Vladdy. But I'm sorry. I can't go into a year thinking that George Springer, I can't expect George Springer, or I can't anticipate George Springer having a great year. George Springer was healthier last year than he's ever been. He played more games than he's ever played. He had career low numbers across the board. In other words, he got worse by being healthy.
Turner's 39. Had a career year offensively last year.
So I think you need to, that's a lot to hang your hat on.
No question.
And I understand this organization, this starting rotation is the highest paid starting rotation in baseball, if I'm not mistaken, combined. There's an imbalance here, and the organization hasn't corrected that, and we can get into all sorts of reasons for that, the weakness in the minor league system, all of that. But we are, you know, we're getting to the point here where we have to have some very, I think we reached the point at the end of last season, but clearly I was in the minority, but we're at a point where you have to have some really uncomfortable discussions about the guts of this thing. Certainly the guts of the lineup. And I'm not talking about filling in at the edges here. We've got to have some really, a really uncomfortable discussion about the guts of this lineup. John Schneider, the manager of the Blue Jays, was asked about the lack of performance offensively.
John, offensively, it was obviously a tough day for you guys. What do you make of the struggles to get things going at the plate today?
I think today, I mean, again, Lugo's good. And, you know, that's two good pitchers. It's, you know, you got to just be, you got to be a little bit more aware of mistakes. He didn't make many mistakes. A lot of the strikeouts were on good pitches. So you give credit where credit's due for sure. And I think going forward, it's just one of those where we'll get better. You know, we're confident that we will. When you look up and it's 6-1, you know, it's 3-1 on a couple of ground balls that get through. And, you know, the game kind of looks a little bit different than I think it ended. But it's, you know, we'll be better.
Wow. I mean, you gotta love his enthusiasm, but
I don't know about enthusiasm.
Well, I mean, he's trying his best to be positive and have the lineups back.
Well, he has to.
But holy, like,
yeah, he has to say
that. He does.
He has to say that
right between the lines.
You know, and I'm sure he's
3.5 runs a game.
I'm sure he's being told by people that eventually it's going to turn around, that the process is working. All that stuff. I mean, you know, he's being told that. And if you're John Schneider, what point do you have? We talked about this. What are you going to do? Varsho leading off, Bichette leading off, dropping Guerrero. Where do you? If it's me, I hit Springer 14th, which is basically where I would have hit Matt Chapman last year. You can't hide George Springer in the lineup any more than you can hide Alejandro Kirk in the lineup. So I would ask people. And 416-413-3959 is a back leg line. Like, give us an answer. You folks watch the games as much as we do. I can sense there's a lot of frustration out there. But what would you do with the lineup? 416-413-395 line. That is the back leg line. 590-590 is the text line. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet.
We've left wins on the table. We've been beaten for sure. And you look at where we are 32 games in, and we're not anywhere near where we can be and where we think we will be. So, yeah, we know we need to be better. We will be better kind of in all aspects. And it's going to, you know, when it does click, I think you're going to see a complete game of baseball, a complete brand of baseball. You know, right now, yeah, it hasn't worked consistently, but again, man, it will be better.
That's John Schneider, manager of the Blue Jays, after a 6-1 loss to the Kansas City Royals. The Jays have tomorrow off. They will go to Washington to take on the Nationals. Then they'll take on the Philadelphia Phillies. It is Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker on the Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet. We like to use what we call the back leg line to solicit calls when we're doing the show. So during the game, we ask people to call up, leave us a voice note, or text us at 590-590. The number to call is 416-413-3959. Paul in Sudbury left us a message, and, well, he kind of gets to the point, I think.
Should the Blue Jays start to trade some assets and try to build for the future? Because it doesn't look like what they have right now is going to bring them ultimately to a World Series. Maybe Vladdy, maybe Bichette get some high value players for that. A little bit younger, a little bit less money. Just a question. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, Paul, listen.
Fair question.
People in this city seem to be scared to have that conversation. For the life of me, I don't know why. I mean, I've talked about it, and you know, look, if I've been very clear, if it was me, I would have signed Bo to a long-term contract a couple of years ago, and we wouldn't be looking ahead to Bo possibly going into free agency at the end of next year. I've been consistent in that. Vladdy, I understand why the team is going year to year with him. Mm-hmm. Like my friend Mr. Barker, I would be fascinated to know what type of Vladdy we would see if the Jays had signed him to a long-term contract. Would that comfort level create confidence the way it, Bobby Witt Jr. certainly doesn't seem to be burdened by his 11-year a contract that could be $400 million if all the options are exercised.
Probably will be.
Yeah. Do you see Bobby? Did he look like he was carrying the weight of the world? He looked free to me like he was like, you know, pushing people out of the way to get to the bat rack. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, what do they have to trade? Your second best pitching prospect is undergoing Tommy John surgery or brace surgery, whatever the hell it is. It's like a 2-for-1 deal.
I think the caller's talking about the meat.
But I'm saying Ricky Tiedemann,
yeah,
can't stay healthy. Aurelvis Martinez,
big leaguers.
He's the guy that ultimately you hope is going to replace Vladdy or Bo, because you're going to have to get somebody cheap in here. But I'll tell you what, you know, Paul's point. The everyday players here. Who are you going to trade that's going to get you anything? IKF, no. Schneider, no. Jansen, probably not. Varsho, I don't know. Maybe. Forget about the other guys. Springer, there is no such thing as an untradeable contract. See Vernon Wells. But nobody's going to take George Springer even up and give you anything in return. It's going to have to be Springer plus a prospect.
You're eating a bunch of the leftover.
And you're going to have to eat a lot of the money.
Oh, a bunch.
You're going to have to eat a lot of the money.
Yeah.
So, who gives you a chance to address serious issues?
Let me ask you a question. What do you think their end goal is? Make the playoffs or win the World Series?
This year?
Yeah, got to be realistic with yourself.
This year, the end goal has to be. Well, the end goal every year. When you have a $238 million payroll, the end goal should be to win the World Series.
You're looking at yourself in the mirror right now, and you're thinking to yourself, this team's good enough to win a World Series.
No.
Then I think you got to be realistic with that.
Now, then you get to Vladdy and Bo. And I would suggest, first of all, you are not going to get for Vladdy what the Washington Nationals got for Juan Soto. You're not. Because you've got Vladdy for a year and a half. And also, quite frankly, Vladdy's...
Hasn't been as good as Soto.
He hasn't been as good as Soto.
Had one good year. Can't argue that.
And, you know, teams that are would be interested in acquiring Vladdy, they're not looking at it as we're getting the next Juan Soto. So I don't know what you get for Vladdy. I mean, obviously somebody would give you something for Vladdy. Is it something that would make you better this year? I don't know. If you're the Blue Jays, do you, and you trade Vladdy, aren't you going to be looking for somebody with less service time than Vladdy that you can have around for 4 or 5 years?
It's good and cheaper. Hard to find.
Trading Bo. See, I think Bo gets you closer to what Soto got the Nationals. But to make that move, to trade either of those guys right now, to trade either of those guys right now, signifies that you are, or let me rephrase that, it will be taken
You're punting.
As a sign that you are punting.
Yep.
By those of us in the media and
get a nice stadium
fans.
Too.
Got a nice new stadium. You've got a starting rotation that's making a crap ton of money.
Yeah.
So you're in a
tough spot.
You're in a tough spot.
You are.
And you know, I think back of the people that we have in Blair and Barker who are former executives or whatever. There's a lot of people who are questioning how the Blue Jays manage their assets around the game. You know, I don't like to make a big deal out of this because polls are polls are polls, but The Athletic did that poll. The top front offices in baseball.
Yep.
And they asked people from different organizations to pick their top five. The Jays didn't get a sniff.
Yeah.
Now, they had company. The Red Sox didn't either. The Red Sox front office.
Well, they've earned it.
Mess right now. They've earned
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There are a lot of organizations that didn't get a sniff, but that still doesn't. Saying that, yeah, we didn't get a vote, but neither did 13 other teams, that's still not good.
No.
That's not good.
It's not.
And it seems to me that we have that discussion too much about the Blue Jays. It's, yeah, but, you know, we're not good, but, you know, other teams aren't good as well. And, yeah, we're not the worst offense, but other teams, you know, I've made this point, and I think a lot of people agree with me. This is a big payroll. I've said that not only are fans and the players owed more, I frankly think ownership's owed more. Ownership's ponied up here.
Spending a lot of money.
Spend a ton of money. Yeah. And I guarantee you they didn't spend a ton of money to have a 15-17 record and get their ass handed to them by the Kansas City Royals. Again, all due respect to the Kansas City Royals because they're
a solid team.
They're
solid.
But they're not a taking 5 of 7 games from my team solid team.
Well said.
Jordan in Ottawa. Sorry, Daryl in Cambridge.
I'm getting pretty tired of listening to the Jays and watching the Jays and going through the same old, same old, same old, same old. Swinging at the first pitch every time. You know, weak ground ball, pop up on the first pitch, or swing and miss. Why don't they have it take a strike? At least first time through the lineup. Take a strike. Don't swing until you get a strike. Make the pitcher's pitch count go up. And swing at your pitch. Don't swing at the pitcher's pitch. Like, it's common sense. I don't understand why these professional so-called baseball players don't have the common sense to do it. Thank you. Have a great day.
Daryl, I'll turn you over to a former pro.
Yeah,
player.
I'm not sure it's common sense. Like, I think sometimes when you struggle, you press. You want to go up and have action quick. Right? The more pitches you see, sometimes the worse off you are. And that's sort of, I think, where 1 through 9 is. Now, there's some guys in there, and we all know their names, who are, you know, having some better at-bats than other guys are. But I just think it's hard sometimes to go up and try less. It's not the easiest thing to do when you're struggling and you see your counterparts that are sort of looking the exact same way that you're looking. And, again, I think that's the question, right, is – when you see George go up and be as aggressive as he is, which I think he's an educated guesser. Educated guessers mean they're looking for a pitch in a certain zone, and no matter what the count is, he's swinging at it. And you have to be real good at not swinging at things that you're not looking for. And I think sometimes that's where George is at, right? He looks in between. His approach looks in between. His mechanics look in between. So, yeah, I don't think it's as easy as just go up and take a strike. They think pitching's really good now. It's hard to take strikes. It's hard to take, you know, pitches that you think you could drive for strike one. You're behind, you know. Do you go up and take a pitch that you don't think you can hit hard? Absolutely. We've seen a lot of guys chasing. We've seen a lot of guys getting themselves out. This is what it looks like when a lineup is struggling. Guys are trying too hard. It sounds easy. It sounds, and I'm sure they've had the conversation, and I've had conversations with guys in the lineup, Jeff, that have said exactly what the caller just said. But it's easier said than done when you're not scoring any runs. Get back to that 3.5 runs a game. You don't think, if I know it, they know it. They know that it's 28 and, you know, not scoring five or more. That's a lot of games. And guys are trying to press. And, you know, it's yada, yada, et cetera, because guys expect, and I do too, the more money you make, the better at bats you should have. You should be able, because you're making that amount of money, you've been around long enough to know how to get out of slumps quicker than other guys do. That's the frustrating part of this. It is literally like Groundhog Day when these guys walk to the plate. And I can understand frustration from fans. They see the same thing that we see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Greg in Saskatoon reached out on the text line, 590-590. Greg said, well, Greg gets to the point, It's time to fire every hitting instructor and or coach. They should also eliminate the analytics department and return to playing baseball. Well, Greg, you know, I mean,
you'd have to have other options, right? This is in season.
I said it.
I mean,
listen,
there's 15 of them.
I said.
And then there's like 40 khakis. Like, what?
I said at the end of last year that the end of last season that I was surprised that there wasn't a clear out or that somebody didn't get fired, and they ended up moving Dave Hudgens into a position in the minor league system. So I guess he can do through the whole organization. What happened last? I mean, I just don't know. As far as analytics, look,
every team has
every team has analytics. Really good teams have analytics. Return to baseball. I hate to tell you this. This is baseball in 2024. And again, we kind of poke fun at analytics a lot of the time, But you have to ask yourself. Houston Astros use analytics. They've won World Series. There isn't a team out there that doesn't use
Rangers
analytics.
Won the World Series. They use analytics.
They use analytics. God, Chris Young is like King Khaki.
He is, yep.
So I kind of laugh when I hear people say that. I'm not disparaging the text at all. One of the frustrations with baseball now is, let's face it, you don't know who to blame. I don't know. We still don't know what happened to Minnesota in that playoff game. We may think we do, but we still don't know what happened.
We do hear a lot of, it's too much information. And I wonder, I've said this to you a bunch of times.
You know what?
The hard thing that I had when I was coming up, because I wasn't as good as these guys, how to say no.
Wow.
The more money you make, isn't it easier to say no? No, I'm good with that. I appreciate the information, but it just don't work for me. I'm good. I don't understand that part of it. Why? Okay, it's good for them to give it to you. If you don't like it or want it, you can't say no.
Unless the information they're getting is wrong information, and I tend to think it's probably not, unless the people who are looking at the information are clueless, and I don't think that they're clueless because, contrary to what many people think, I do think that Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro are smart people, and I don't think they'd surround themselves with idiots. But this, it's not like this is a month. These issues have afflicted this team for a while. And your job, if you are in that front office, is to take this payroll, and I keep talking about payroll, and even though I promise I don't talk about payroll, I'm going to now because there's a lot of money being paid. Your job is to take that money and win a World Series.
Yeah.
That's your job, however you decide
you
to
know
do
that,
it.
Jeff, you
and
do.
I am going to say this. Organizationally, I can tell you something. There is in any organization, when you go out and bring in a bunch of people, there is a whole lot of ass covering that goes on.
Yeah.
Like, there is a whole bunch of we got to protect our jobs going on. there's a whole lot of, well, we're doing the right stuff. It's just the blockheads in the uniforms aren't doing the right stuff. So that's just the way baseball is in 2024. But again, winning teams are using analytics.
You still got to have players that can hit. They have also got rid of some really good players. Like Teoscar's, how would this team look, lineup look, with him hitting cleanup? How would Lourdes, who can hit 300 and hit good pitching, look? Like now you got to be fair. They have gotten rid of some really good hitters, and sometimes just the quality of the hitter can overcome all the conversations.
Stick Teoscar in this lineup with Justin Turner.
How would it look even the conversation with Teoscar and Vladdy? Maybe Vladdy's one of those dudes that just needs that kind of figure around him. I don't know. Who am I to say that ain't right? I'm just saying it's funny how it hasn't looked since they haven't brought guys back or gotten rid of guys. That's all.
I will tell you this. Pay attention to what happens in the next 2 weeks, because this is the type of record you're going to start hearing a lot of whispering. I guarantee to you, you're going to start hearing a lot of whispering in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, you're already, people around the team, you start to hear, you start to hear some things.
I've told you this. I've been in enough clubhouses to know that one side's doing really well and the other side's not. The conversations will get heavier.
Mike from Brantford reached out to us, 590, 590 in the text line. He wanted to talk about Vladdy. And we'll throw the board up there in a minute. Vladdy reminds me of Prince Fielder. Oof. I mean, Fielder was awfully good. Secondly, if the media in Toronto treated the Jays like the Leafs, they'd be calling for Atkins to lose his job a week ago. I sure love watching six Biggios every night. Well, as to the last part, one's enough for me.
I mean, I think this show was the first ones to say after Ross threw the manager under the bus that how does he keep his job? Like, it's not like the conversation hasn't been had.
No. As far as the rest of the media goes, I don't know. One of the things that comes with analytics is you can use analytics to make excuses and convince people that you actually know what you're doing. And I think there's been a certain amount of that in this marketplace. But, you know, in terms of why isn't anybody calling for Ross Atkins to be fired? I mean, I got to tell you, after the way last season ended, we said, I thought someone to lose their job. I don't know what has to happen. I was unhappy with the way last season ended. The fans were unhappy with the way last season ended. The players were unhappy with the way last season ended. And it seemed to me that they just, for whatever reason, the decision was made to double down on the stuff they did last year, except improve the communication and give Don Mattingly the job as an offensive coordinator. Anyhow, so yeah, I cannot disagree with the fact that Ross Atkins is lucky that he's not running the Toronto Maple Leafs. I will say that, because if he was, there'd be a lot of people being more vociferous in calling for his job.
I mean, they've been pretty bad offensively, and there's a day off tomorrow. So,
I don't know.
Necessarily. Yeah.
And also, take a look at this organization. This organization is pretty, wants to stress stability. And I get that. Stability is generally a good thing. But I'll just throw this out there. If John Schneider ends up losing his job, it's John Gibbons, Charlie Montoyo, John Schneider. The new dude coming in, whoever it is, would be Ross Atkins' fourth manager. Okay, he inherited John Gibbons. I get that. He picked Charlie Montoyo. John Schneider was his handpicked successor and got an extension. And take a look around the AL East and ask yourself, which team has had the least amount of stability in the manager's office? Ask yourself that. Mm-hmm. Aaron Boone in New York, Alex Cora in Boston, and there may be changes this year. Alex Cora certainly talked in the offseason like a guy who wants out.
Yep.
Kevin Cash is going nowhere. Kevin Cash will be there until Kevin Cash decides he's not. And Brandon Hyde, if Brandon Hyde moves on, it's going to be because somebody's going to pick up the phone and say, we'll give you goofy Craig Council money to come and manage our team.
Yeah.
But other than that, again, there's been a lack of stability in the manager's office here. And
they got to figure it out. Whatever they're selling to the pitchers is working. Whatever they're selling to the offense is not.
Let's go to Rick in Kingston, my hometown. Well, I was born in Kingston. Morden's my hometown, but I was born in Kingston. Rick in Kingston.
Can you please tell me why the Jays don't play small ball at all? Every team that comes in either steals, bunts, or whatever. You're in a close game. Do you think it'd be a good idea if they played small ball? Cheers.
Bye. Yeah, Rick, I got to tell you. 3.5 runs a game, it's pretty hard to get your balls any smaller than that if you want to know the truth. I mean, I think these guys are playing small ball. Maybe not in the way we think, but, I mean, this is the incredible shrinking lineup. Let's be honest.
Bottom of the order's tried.
They've tried.
Top of the order right now, it's just Reese is not in the flow, whatever they're trying to be in the flow with. So, yeah, I don't know.
Like, let me ask you this, playing small ball. Who's making enough contact to play small ball?
They're 30th in average with runners in scoring position. I mean, small ball getting them over for who? Yeah. Like, that's the question you got to ask yourself. Like, I understand the caller, and sometimes you got to press it, and you got to just sort of go outside the box and things you don't want to do all the time. But, man, like, right now it's just who you bunting them over for? That's the question you got to ask yourself. It ain't the top of the order right now. I mean, there's a reason why Kansas City bunted a guy to third, because the dude walking to the plate might be top five best player in baseball.
Yeah.
And the dude coming up after him is leading the league in RBIs. Like, those are no-brainer type. Who you bunting over for the Jays? Like, that's the thing, right? It's I'm with the caller, and sometimes you have to do it, but who? For who?
Yeah.
It's got to make sense.
I mean, they're not doing anything. They're not hitting home runs. And Don Mattingly, this isn't a home run hitting team. This is a team that's going to have to score runs in other ways. Well, the other ways haven't materialized. But I would suggest that this is the smallest ball Blue Jays team. That doesn't sound right. You know what I mean. Mm. That this team is.
You dug yourself this hole. I'm going to let you try and get out of it.
Yeah. Why don't we just take a break? We just take a break anyhow and come back and go back to the phone line. Yeah. Go back to the text line. 6-1, the Kansas. 6-1, the Kansas City Royals have beaten the Toronto Blue Jays. The rubber match of this three-game series. Tomorrow's an off day. And it's the Washington Nationals and the Philadelphia Phillies. It's Blue Jays talk with Blair and Barker. I don't think our balls. On the Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet. All right, welcome back to Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet. Poking through the embers of a 6-1 loss to the Kansas City Royals, the Jays have lost 5 of 7 games to the Royals this year. 28 games?
It's a lot.
5 runs or few less? Yeah.
Oh, man.
And the one game where they scored 8, they lost.
That's
9-8.
The most in baseball, Jeff. They're tied with your team, the A's. I think
they're not my team.
Coming into today, they were. I don't know.
These are not my team. How many of those teams have offensive coordinators, I wonder?
I'm sure all of them. It's the thing now.
Well, the Rangers had an offensive coordinator.
You have to give me every single count what pitch I'm looking for. I guess that's what that's for, right?
590-590 is our text line, 416-413-3959. That is what we call the back leg line. And when we do these shows, these live Blue Jays talk shows after games, you can call us during the game and leave a message for us on the back leg line.
We want you to.
You'll hear Mr. Barker's lovely voice. And leave your name and location, please.
Get it down, get it singing.
Get it down and get it ringing, or get it down and get it.
That is not close.
That is not close at all. John from Caledon, and he left us a text. We liked it so much, we're going to put it up on the screen. Is there a time when Vladdy needs to stop socializing at first base, dumping Gatorade and joking around until he starts to deliver?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Isn't...
I mean, I'm okay with the stopping the Gatorade thing.
Yeah, me too.
That's old.
Silly.
That's old.
Don't people always say, no matter how good or bad you're doing, stay the same person?
Absolutely.
Is he not the same person, no matter if he's stinking or he's hitting line drives off the left center field wall? I thought that's what people always wanted. Like, always be the same guy, no matter what.
People like their guys to throw stuff, and because it allegedly shows that you care. Socializing at first base. You know who the biggest socializer at first base is Joey Votto.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Joey Votto. They mic up Joey Votto at first base. He's so good. I'm just saying. Stop socializing at first base.
Is that the reason why he's not consistently hitting a fastball?
I mean, as far as I could tell, the year he was an MVP finalist, he did a whole hell of a lot of socializing at first base.
All the time.
The Gatorade thing.
It's silly.
The Gatorade thing, you know, when you win, you can spray stuff and dump stuff when you win something. I'm not certain that a Monday night win against Kansas City is worth dumping. And the thing, it's not a surprise anymore. Like, that's the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a surprise anymore. But anyhow, I can't, you know, on the list of 100 things around this team that needs to be changed, the water dumping or whatever the hell it is they're dumping now. I don't even know if it's Gatorade. Whatever it is.
I just wish Vladdy was getting dumped on. That's all I wish.
Well, it would be nice if somebody... Yeah, that's...
It's rare. How many times has he been dumped on?
I mean...
It's rare.
He gets dumped
once or twice.
By callers, but not by... not by
Gatorade.
Not by his teammates.
No.
Not by his teammates at all.
A couple times.
Phil in Toronto.
Pat Gillick, back in the day, traded Fred McGriff and Tony Fernandez for Joe Carter and Robbie Alomar. And you know what? That worked out pretty good for us. I don't see why our GM can't go after other people's all-stars, or not all-stars, but stars, and trade for our stars. Maybe they're struggling a little bit and unhappy in their environment and just need a kickstart. What do you guys think about that idea? Thank you, and have a great evening.
Who's the McGriff and Fernandez in this team?
I'm assuming he's talking about the shortstop and the first baseman.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you're not going to trade two of them in one in one deal. That's not a great use of assets. If you are going to try to maximize your assets, you're probably going to try to split them up in a trade. First of all, I mean, it's kind of early in the year to be looking at trades like that. I don't know how many big trades happen at this time.
Back yourself in the corner when you said we believe in the core. We all know who the core is. It's two guys. Did they? You think? Did they back themselves in the corner by saying that beginning of the season?
You know, it's one of those things that you probably didn't need to say.
Yeah, I mean, they said a lot.
But you can't come out and say we're not going to do anything, which is essentially what they did for the most part. I mean, I don't consider bringing back Kevin Kiermaier when nobody else wanted him, or signing IKF to a 2-year contract when nobody was giving him 2 years. I don't consider that doing anything. Justin Turner is a slam dunk to me, but I also can't make Justin Turner the focus of my offseason. And again, we can get into the Shohei Ohtani thing. I would have been really disappointed if the Jays hadn't made a play for Shohei Ohtani, because it just made so much sense for this organization, this ownership group, this company.
How happy you think he is right now?
Well, I mean, he probably...
Well, he's stuck between two Hall of Famers. Like, that's...
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he wish he'd chosen his friends a little better.
Yeah.
He'd probably do a better job, as good a job choosing your friends as you do choosing teams. But beyond that, there's just... I'm just looking at trying to figure out what I would trade. You know, I'm trying to figure out what I would trade to to get anything done. I think Daryl and Ingersoll had an idea, though.
Want to say my wife and I love your show. We're actually getting far more entertainment value from listening to the two of you guys than our current iteration of the Blue Jays. Have a question and a sort of a creative solution to some of our power bat problems, specifically Kikuchi. Mm. Is it time to trade a good pitcher and a bad contract to get a good bat?
Ooh.
And I'm thinking specifically about Mr. Springer. Would a team be open to grabbing a good pitcher that may be good for a number of years in exchange for a bad contract? Would love to hear your opinion. Thanks, fellas.
Well, Daryl, it's funny you mentioned that because when we came into the studio, I kind of knew what the tone of the show was going to be.
Mm.
Danny Jansen hit a home run, by the way.
Yeah.
Baseball's always better when Danny Jansen's hitting a home run.
3 in 10 games. That's pretty good.
So I want to mention that.
Yeah.
Because we are members of the Danny Jansen.
Get you out front. Have a good approach.
Danny Jansen fan club.
We are.
I want to mention that.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Jansen might get you something.
Mm.
It's part of a package. Anyhow.
Why would you want to get rid of Danny?
Well, yeah.
Who's catching?
Mm. Well,
think Kirky catch all the time?
Anyhow, Daryl's point about Kikuchi and Springer. I know going into this offseason, I wrote this in some little thing I did in sportsnet.ca or something. I know going into this offseason that the idea of possibly having Springer included in some sort of deal came up. I'm not saying that it was a serious thing. I think the Jays realized the difficulty of moving George Springer, moving that contract. Although, again, George Springer was healthy last year. And there is a thing in baseball where everybody thinks they can reinvent the wheel, even if it's maybe a 33-year-old wheel with a couple of spokes missing or however old George is.
34.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kikuchi is interesting.
Yeah.
Because they've committed a lot of money to the starting rotation. They got Jose Berríos here for a while. Chris Bassett, Kevin Gausman, you got them around for another year at least. Alek Manoah comes back. The one good thing about Alek Manoah's last 2 years is you saved yourself some major league service time. And I'm not saying that to be a jackass, even though I am a jackass. I'm saying that it's a point of fact. Alek Manoah comes back. Now, if I don't think I'm going to resign Yusei Kikuchi,
mm-hmm.
and I have to make a move to, or I want to make a move to make my lineup better. I mean, if I could get George Springer out of my lineup and get somebody else in here, I would certainly think about it. You're trading a guy in Kikuchi he's eligible for free agency after this year.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Right away, you're not going to get as much as you think because the team that acquires Kikuchi is acquiring
You can still try. I mean, the Astros need pitching.
They
got a bunch of hitters.
I would do it. I would do it just because once I get a read on Alek Manoah, I've got some depth. And I'm going to say something here now about Ross Atkins that I know is going to drive people nuts. You know another reason I would consider doing it? Because one thing this organization has done since Ross Atkins is here, and I'm not necessarily saying it's all because of him, but if we're going to crap in this guy for the lineup, we got to give him credit for what he's done with the rotation. And yes, I understand that he's cut checks more than anything else, but they've done a really good job with the rotation and the bullpen. Almost every year they've added something.
Yeah.
Something that has made a difference.
It's just hard to give him credit when the offense is so far away from the starting pitching.
My point is, knowing that this organization appears to have a strength in identifying pitching and has the financial wherewithal to go out and get pitching, then maybe you look at trading Yusei Kikuchi.
You get a middle of the order bat for him?
No.
Then why would you trade him? That's what you're looking for.
You might get now. This is my other point. You might get as part of a package somebody else's prospect that may not help you this year, but may help you next year. Well, again,
I used to be a prospect.
We're talking rebuild.
I used to be.
We're talking rebuild. If
who's
you do
a rebuild?
That. Well, you're talking rebuild if you do that. If
yeah.
I think you are. And they've got this organization's minor league system has to get better. You know why they couldn't go after Juan Soto? Because they didn't have the stuff to get Juan Soto.
Yeah, can't argue.
You know, it's can't put it any other way.
Nope.
We have Russ in Kingston.
Russ.
590-590, the text line. Hello. I know midseason GM firings are rare, but why? If you know you're going to blow up your team at the deadline and you also know you don't have confidence in your GM, wouldn't you want a new GM you do trust?
Are they blowing it up?
This is, thanks for the...
It's a good question, but are they blowing it up?
I mean, that's the thing. It doesn't seem as if there's a huge financial push to blow this team up, which is a good thing.
Yep.
And which we should all give thanks for, considering the way the Blue Jays used to operate when the Belgian Brewers were running this team. I don't know. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that there are so many cooks in the kitchen now that I just don't know. Firing a GM can be performative. I don't know if it's necessarily going to address the deep-seated issues. Like, if Ross Atkins goes, are we still getting the same analytics stuff to the players? In which case, what have you really accomplished? But the other question is kind of that quintessential sports talk show question. And that is, do you want the guy who's put together the team you don't like and you don't think is good enough to tear it apart? Do you want the guy who traded Moreno and Gurriel for Varsho to tear it apart? Or do you want somebody else to come in, fresh set of eyes? Or here's the other thing, if you want to, and this is like really bad sports talk show philosophy. Instead of bringing a new guy in, and saying, okay, clean up the mess. Would you rather have the old guy clean up the mess so that the new guy comes in and doesn't have to deal with what do you do with Vlad?
So you think they're tearing it up?
No, but I'm saying I'm walking through the scenarios. I don't think they're tearing it up. I'm walking through the scenarios. As I said, the one thing we do know is that ownership hasn't asked this front office. They haven't said, we're going to cut payroll.
Yeah.
They haven't.
Yeah, they're 15-17. They're not 6-25 like the White Sox. Like, I would maybe getting a little ahead of yourself. Like,
But the point about, and we're there right now. It's 15-17. This is a team that, you know, ended last year disgracefully in terms of how they handled the fallout from that situation in Minnesota. You know, with, I would say, the exception of Mark Shapiro, who kind of cleaned everything up. But there's just so many people making decisions now that I don't think you would necessarily change anything. You know, and I talked about this on a column I did in Sportsnet Thoughts Yay on Monday. You know, I hear a lot of people and I see a lot of people when I do go on X or whatever the hell it's called today, talking about get rid of Ross Atkins and bring in James Click. Do you think James Click is going to come in and get rid of all the analytics people?
Add.
I got news for you.
He's going to add.
I got news for you.
There'll be more.
I got news for you.
Yeah.
There'll
be more.
Yeah. So
I think they're thinking, Jeff, realistically, at the end of the season, do you think they could be better or right there with the Twins, the Tigers, the Royals, the Astros? We'll throw the Astros in there because they're 10-19. Like, basically, you're fighting for a third wild card spot because of where the Rangers are at, because of how good the pitching is for the Mariners, because of what the American League East, either the Yankees or the Orioles.
Mariners lineup is as bad as
so
the Jays.
So you're facing
lineup.
That their pitching's elite, like elite. So I'm just throwing those teams out. I'm saying I would guess that's what they're thinking, right? You're fighting for a third wild card spot against teams that you think you're as good at or better than. No.
Yeah.
That's what I think they're thinking.
This is the whole thing with expanded playoffs. It's created that scenario where
could be relevant and be an okay team.
Get in and who the hell knows what happens in a short series. It's the playoffs are a more legitimate possibility for a bad team in baseball than they've been in the past.
Yeah.
They just are.
Diamondbacks got in last year with 84 wins or something. Yeah.
And they went to the World Series.
Yeah. I think it's 84 wins.
Look at the Dodgers.
I'm not saying the
Dodgers. How many World Series? The Dodgers needed a COVID outbreak to win a freaking World Series.
That ain't going to happen in the American League. I mean, the Jays are going to have to get close to that 88, 89, 90 wins.
Oh, yes.
But it's going to be a little tougher in the American League to do that. But, it's just how do you get better offensively? Like, you can't sell the core thing anymore. It just ain't working. Like, they need help.
Mm.
How do they get help? That's the big question. That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question we've been talking about since
million-dollar
Vladdy
question.
Got picked off in Minnesota.
At least he's on base.
Well, at least he was on second base, too. That's awful. Justin in Saskatoon.
I had to.
He left us a voice note.
You know about the core of the lineup, the manager, mm-hmm. other things like that, but why aren't people talking about Guillermo Martinez, Don Mattingly, everybody else involved with the, you know, hitting instruction side of things with this team? Obviously, we've seen the last 2 years, especially last year, this year, continuing on, you know, the production has dropped, power numbers are down, personnel hasn't changed. You see guys, you know, like Danny Jansen, Davis Schneider, pull hitters that seem to be doing okay, but all these guys who they seem to have this approach of, you know, line drive, hit the ball the other way, their numbers have just dropped. Why aren't they just going up there? They talk about doing damage. Go up there, pull the damn ball. That's what I think. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm sure the answer is the underlying numbers suggest that they're not as bad offensively as they look when the game is actually played in the field.
I could make an argument against that.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of the hitting coaches, I mean, I don't.
It's very individual, too. People got to remember that. Like, every one of these hitters aren't using the 15 different hitting coaches. Guillermo Martinez, look, he's a very soft-spoken listener. He ain't going to run and scream and yell, you know, you got to do it this way. This is what I said. Like, Danny Jansen pulling baseballs, that's Danny Jansen doing that. Dalton Varsho turned his season around. Sounds like his dad has a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
Like there is things outside the organization, and some things I think turnarounds like Danny Jansen, that's very individual. He's thinking because of performance and him doing it, thinks that he can succeed and make money to the poolside.
Danny Jansen started doing that 3 years ago. We remember having the conversation with him. He saw what Mike Zunino was doing in Tampa Bay, going to the All-Star game, making money.
Danny Jansen said, hit 20 homers, make tons of money.
I'm strong and play good defense.
There you go.
That was Danny Jansen doing what Danny Jansen had to do.
He saw somebody else doing it, wanted to do that, and thought he could do it. That I think is, look, do I think they need to shake some things up? Absolutely.
I'm going
to
touch the third rail here. I'll tell you what. You know what this team had when it was winning games and when it had Marcus Semien and all that stuff. And yes, I know they were playing in minor league ballparks at the time, yada, yada. But I'll tell you what. And it was noticeable when the Jays had that little camp they had here coming out of before COVID, before it resumed. Yeah, this is the third rail. I'm probably going to get electrocuted saying this, but this team was better when Dante Bichette was around.
No question.
I'll just say that's a fact. This team was better when Dante Bichette
was around.
Offensively, they were ready to hit. And I'm not talking about Bo. I'm talking about other guys.
Everybody. They were ready to hit.
Yeah. And for whatever reason, now I know when the strike, when the lockout, was it a lockout or a strike? I can't even remember. When the labor stoppage happened, if you remember, Dante Bichette was working with Bo and
Santiago Espinal
and Forrest Wall.
Yeah.
And he had to quit the Blue Jays organization in order to do that, because if you were a paid employee of the organization, you weren't allowed to work with players. I'm throwing that out there. That's all I'm saying. This team hasn't hit, and I'm not saying because Dante Bichette left, the Jays stopped hitting. Because Dante Bichette left, Vladdy stopped. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that when he was here, they looked a whole hell of a lot better. Now, I don't know what, that means. You know, we've talked to Dante. I have a front row pew at the church of Dante Bichette when it comes to talking to him about hitting. But I'm throwing that out there. Mm-hmm. And Don Mattingly was such a great hitter that it drove me nuts last year. And I understood that with the workload, he was the bench coach, that there are other things going on. But I was thinking, if I was having trouble hitting, I got Donnie freaking baseball. I go, Donnie, I know you're busy tonight, but God, man, can we go out for dinner? I'll buy you whatever you want. And just tell me something. Help me out here. Anyhow, that's my little rant. I'm just saying that when Dante Bichette was here, the team was two plus two, right?
You get rid of good hitters, you get, you know.
And I'll tell you what, that workout camp they had here before the COVID season resumed, Dante Bichette sat out in front of the dugout.
Yeah.
And it was like the Pied freaking Piper with people talking. Anyhow, we got one more board before we scoot. And I love this board. If I had a prize for you, Scott, I'd give you a prize. Unfortunately, you're just going to have to settle for my undying love and respect. Scott and Muskoka. No, I don't. This is great. It was a series in Washington that was a crucial make or break for Gibby. I think we are there now. It needs to be a good weekend versus the Nationals or Schneider, Atkins. Both should be gone. I don't know about the last part, but I got to say this. I'm glad you threw that out because the Jays do go into Washington. And I know that the John Gibbons fan club is, I mean, it's still in full force.
Who don't love Gibby?
Everybody loves Gibby. Gibby thought he was going to be fired.
Yeah, he's in the shower.
He was in the shower, and he's told everybody this. He was like, you know, in the shower, and he thought he was going to be fired.
It was a doubleheader.
It was a doubleheader.
Yeah.
And that was a game where Kevin freaking Pillar
hits a homer,
who John Gibbons sent to AAA a couple of years earlier, hits a home run off Max. I think it was Max Scherzer.
It was.
And the Jays won that game, and they won like 10 in a row.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, seldom do you have a manager look you in the eye and say, I thought I was fired. Like he was, you know, showering down and soaping up certain parts thinking, and he had one eye. He had one
eye out of here.
Man, I hope Alex isn't coming to shower. Anyhow, so Scott and Muskoka, you made my day with that text. Thanks so much for doing it. Hey, folks, that's it for us. It's been a lot of fun. More fun probably than the baseball. The Jays have the day off tomorrow. They'll be back against the Washington Nationals on Friday. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Bridgewater and Liverpool, Nova Scotia. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. They are, I'm out of breath, they are Canada's number one rust protection.